ओम ब्रह्मानंदम परम सुखदम केवलम ज्ञानमूर्तिम द्वंद्वातीतम गगन सदृशम तत्वमत्स्यादिलक्षम एकम नित्यम विमलम अचलम सर्वधी साक्षिभूतम भावातीतम त्रिगुणरहितम सद्गुरुम तम नमामि। ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांतिः। हरिः ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम। ओम समस्त जन कल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं। हरि ओम एवरीबॉडी। टू थिंग्स। वन अनाउंसमेंट दैट आई वांट टू मेक इज दैट एट 7:15 one of our Chinmay Mission Vancouver board members, Sheetal Gupta, will be joining us. Vinita, it's Sheetal Gupta. So when she tries to come in at 7:15 or a little before that, do let her in. She will be talking about the Chinmay Vishwavidyalay project, which is happening in CIF, Coimbatore. You know, there is a huge university that is coming up. So she'll be talking about that. I know that people from Vancouver and, have heard it. So I'll be saying the closing prayers at 7:15, but I definitely need all Calgary and Saskatoon members to stay. Chitra, you also stay. Because this is specifically this announced, Sheetal is coming specifically for Calgary to explain to Calgary what it is and what is her role in it and what should be the role of the center in it, etc. So it's mainly for Calgary. Vancouver students have heard it. They can leave. That's why I'll say my closing prayers. The next thing that I wanted to talk to you about today is that last week when we left off at the very end, there were two questions. One was, is Prakriti part of Purusha or is she not a part of Purusha? And I said, no. And then the other question was, is Shakti a part of Shiva? And I said, yes, that is correct. But I said, you have come a notch down. So these two questions got me thinking, and I felt that there is not a complete clarity because there are so many words and deities that we use. First is the Satchitananda Brahma, then there is Purusha, then there is Atma, there is Brahman, there is Prakriti, there is Maya, there is Avidya, there is Vasanas, there is the Trinity, you know, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Then there are their consorts, Saraswati, Lakshmi and Shakti or Parvati. And then, of course, there is Sri Ram and Sri Krishna and Sri Krishna with his 16,000 wives. And, you know, so what is all this? And I got the feeling from the two questions that there was not as much clarity as should be in the minds of everybody. And so I kind of decided to dedicate today's lecture to the explanation of those terms. So if it's okay with you all, I would like to clarify my own answers first, why Prakriti cannot be a part of Purusha, whereas Shakti can be a part of Shiva. What is it? How is it? Because I didn't have time to explain. And so this is what I would like to take up today with your permission. Everybody okay with that?
Yes.
All right. All right. So in the Hindu tradition, there are four types of texts. One is called as the Shruti, next is Smriti, third is Puranas, and fourth is Itihasas. Okay, so Shruti is God-made or apaurusheya, not written by any human being. Shruti is something that was revealed. It's the Vedas. It's the four Vedas. It's Shruti. Excuse me. All Upanishads come in the Vedas, so all Upanishads fall under the category of Shruti. and they are mantras revealed to the rishis in their higher states of meditation. They are not man-made. They are not written by any human being. Smriti is what is remembered. Smriti, Shruti is what is heard, and Smriti is what is remembered. It is, Smriti is man-made. It is written by a human being, and it is the code of conduct. It is a code of conduct as to how life should be lived. That is what Smriti is. Puranas are man-made. They are written by Bhagwan Vedavyasa. There are 18 Puranas. Shruti, there are 4 Vedas. And as we know, there are 108 Upanishads. There are actually 1179 Upanishads, but 108 known ones. So that is Shruti. Smriti is, like example, is Manu Smriti, written by Manu, who was the king of this Manvantara, this, you know, this whole yuga, these 4 yugas. So that is written, and that's a code of conduct. Puranas is written by Bhagwan Vedavyasa. There are 18 Puranas, and the names of the Puranas are like Vishnu Puran, Shiva Puran, Ganesha Puran, Devi Puran, Skanda Puran, Garuda Puran. So there are all these various names. There is 18 man-made, okay? Because Bhagwan Vedavyasa wrote it. Itihasa, iti ahasa means as it happened. Literally translated, history. So it was history that happened, and then it was recorded. And it was recorded again by Bhagwan Vedavyasa. And there are 2 itihasas, Ramayana and Mahabharata. Okay, so it happened. All whatever is told in the Mahabharata, whatever is told in the Ramayana happened. And then later on, it was recorded by Bhagwan Vedavyasa. Now, in among these 4, we will not be talking about Smriti today, because Smriti has got nothing to do with the deities and the gods and everything. It is a code of conduct for us to live by. What is right? What is your rightful duty? How you should conduct yourself in private, in public, in front of the king, in front of your elders? All this code of conduct falls under Smriti. So Smriti is not our topic today. Our topic is going to be Shruti, Puranas, and Itihasas. And we will begin with Itihasas, because that is very, very known to us. We are very familiar with it. We are very familiar with Mahabharata. We are very familiar with Gita. We are very familiar with Shri Krishna, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, and also with the Ramayana. We are familiar with Ramayana, and we are familiar with Shri Ram. Now, Shri Ram and Shri Krishna, they are real. You should never be taken as it's a myth. That's why in Swami Swarupananda's Yajna also he said, some people think it's mystic, it's a myth. That is not correct. And that's why the name is it as it happened. It did happen. It happened. Okay. So Shri Ram and Shri Krishna are considered to be avatars. Considered means Bhagwan in Bhagavad Gita, to directly he says, I have taken avatar to Yada yada hi dharmasya glanirbhav. Whenever there is a decline in dharma, I take avatar and then I protect the good and I destroy the evil. A very, very similar verse is there in Tulsi Ramayana. Those of you who are reading Tulsi Ramayana, in the earlier portion, in the first part, in the Balakanda, there is exactly in Audi the same verse is there. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanirbhavati bharata. So there also Tulsidasji says that why does Bhagwan take avatar is whenever that there is fall in dharma, then he takes up. So in Ramayana, he came as Sri Rama, and in Mahabharata, Bhagwan Vishnu himself came as Sri Krishna. Okay, so they lived on this earth and they had a purpose, because they were avatars, because they knew who they were. That should be remembered, that even when they came, Sri Ram never said it. So that's why whatever Sri Ram did, however he behaved, we should be emulating that. He was that an ideal son, ideal brother, ideal husband, ideal king, a very ideal enemy as well to Ramana. And he fought for the rishis and everything. He protected them. Because yada yada dharmasya, he protected them, and then finally he killed Ravana. And the purpose of his birth was because Mother Earth went to him in the form of a cow, who he means Bhagavan Vishnu, and it said that Ravana has become very, very powerful, and Ravana is pounding the earth, and it feels like he's pounding on my chest. You need to come and destroy him. And Bhagavan Vishnu promised her that he would come. And then he came as the son of Dashrath and Kaushalya, who in their previous births had done a lot of tapas. Bhagavan just doesn't take birth in anybody's womb. They had done a lot of tapas. They had actually, Bhagavan Vishnu had appeared before them. And they said, Bhagavan, we want a son like you. Then Bhagavan said, unfortunately, there is nobody like me. I'm incomparable. So I only have to take birth, and I will only take birth in your womb. And then he came as Sri Ram. Now, Sri Krishna also, a lot of unrighteousness was happening. And so Bhagavan decided to come down, and he came as Sri Krishna, and he chose whatever that he couldn't do in Ram Avatar. So one thing was he couldn't look after the animals because he was born as a prince. He had a very, Sri Rama's childhood was absolutely eventless up to age 16. So he grew up in the palace. So there was no question of him even going anywhere near the stables or, you know, cleaning the horses or cows or whatever, grazing the cows, et cetera, et cetera. And till 16, we see that Sri Ram, really, there is no feats that he has done. With Sri Krishna, he said, no, I didn't serve the animals. So I want to serve the animals. Then Sri Ram came at 12 noon. He came in the middle of the night. Sri Ram came in a palace. He came in the prison. He chose because it is, that's why he says, keeping my Maya under my control, I take avatar. So when Maya is under the control of Bhagavan, she has no powers. She is the servant. The three gunas are his servant. So he says, I will be born at this time, at this place, in this womb. This is how I will be born. And this is what is going to happen. And this is how he is the director, the hero, the producer of the play. So whatever he says goes. He does whatever he wants to do. So he does that. These two histories, they have happened and then they have been recorded. And the most common gods or temples that we see are Sri Ram and Sri Krishna's, right? We see that. Now, the gopis whom we read about, who were so devoted to Sri Krishna, they were all the rishis in the forest when Sri Ram was traveling. And they were all males, male rishis. And then he was so beautiful that in their heart, they thought, oh, he's so beautiful. Like, he's so handsome. I would want him. But that Bhagavan could not in that life fulfill it. So they came as gopis. That's why the gopis already had that knowledge that Bhagavan is Bhagavan. He's not just Sri Krishna. So their love should never be treated as lust, understood as lust or passion, not that sort of. They knew who he was. They knew that he is my own self, because they were the rishis in, they already realized rishis in the previous births. So that is how these two deities are. And like I said, they're the most common. Now, once they take birth as a human being, they have to live like a human being, and they lived like a human being. Sri Ram, you know, when he was told he has to go to the forest, he agreed. He said, no, my father has given the word, and that's why he was the most ideal son. He could have said no, and his father would have put Kaikeyi in jail, and who would have stopped them? If it was a typical, you know, Bollywood movie. But it wasn't like that. Wasn't the purpose. It was his purpose was to show the world that one can live righteously. One can live by dharma. Even though it is difficult, it can be done. And so that is what he did. And then Sri Krishna's life, we see right from the beginning, full action oriented. Right when he was a baby, he killed Putana, Shakta, Asura. So many in Bhagavad, you read all the stories. Each asura represents a negative tendency in our mind. Subjectively, that is Putana represents ignorance, then somebody else represents greed, all these negative tendencies which are there, anger. There is one Asura who represents anger. So this is what outside it appears like he killed the Asura, but actually he was purifying everybody's minds. He was taking care of all these negative tendencies. And they are gods and they are worshipped as gods. Okay, so that is the two episodes, Mahabharata and Ramayana. The Puranas were written because this concept of Purusha or Satchitananda or the absolute reality or the formless Nirgun Nirakara that we say, Bhagwan Ved Vyasa understood that it's going to be very difficult for everybody to follow that. Remember that the absolute truth is only Nirgun Nirakar. I was just reading today in Raman Maharshi's this thing. He says, this is Ajatavada. There is actually no world. Raman Maharshi has said it. Just today I read it. Okay. But it is very difficult for us to comprehend. What do you mean there is no world? It's very, very difficult. Then when we comprehend, we see that there is a creation, then there is a sustenance, and then there is destruction. So we see these three principles, even in thought. A thought comes in our mind, it sustains for some time, and then it gets destroyed to be replaced by some other thought. So we see these three. So Bhagwan Ved Vyasa personified that Nirgun Nirakara into the Trinity. So he created a Brahmaji. He wrote Brahma Puran, will tell you all about the greatness of Brahmaji. So the creator, the sustainer, Vishnu, and the destroyer, Shiva. Because you need these three for the world to go on, and the world is going on, and the people think the world is real, and the people think that there are these three principles of creation, sustenance, and destruction, and then Nirgun Nirakara and no world, how they will reconcile. So as an in-between step, Bhagwan Ved Vyasa wrote the Puranas. There we see this trinity. That is where this trinity comes into being. Now, this Nirgun Nirakara, no form. Nirgun, no gunas. So no sattva, rajas, tamas. He personified them. He made it into a person. Like Brahmaji is a person. Vishnu is a person. Because when you see photos, right behind me there's Vishnu with four arms and standing, two legs and all that. But they are different from Shri Krishna and Shri Rama. Shri Ram and Shri Krishna, they were like human beings only, like us. Two arms, two, there's nothing weird about them. But with Vishnu, if you see, or Brahmaji is sitting on the navel, on the lotus. How can anybody sit on a lotus? Right? So Bhagwan Ved Vyasa personified these three functions and made them into Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh so that people can see and read about them. They never walked on the earth. Have you heard any stories where Vishnu came as avatar, but Vishnu, did anybody see Vishnu walking anywhere? People saw Shri Krishna and Shri Rama. Brahmaji, Vishnu and Mahesha, nobody has seen. But we need that in-between step. Directly to go into Nirgun Nirakar is different. That's why Bhagwan, even in chapter 12, he says, Nirgun Nirakar is difficult. So what he did was, he gave a Sagun Sakar form to us, which we understand very well. Why? Because we are Sagun Sakar. What we are, we can understand very well. Don't you think? I have got a form. So any form, I will understand very well. I have got gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. So anybody else. And when a form comes, the gunas definitely come. Why? Because the form is coming from tamas. It may be Brahmaji's form. It may be Vishnuji's form. It may be Mahesh's form. Form is coming from tamas. So that means there is tamas. Then there is knowledge. They have knowledge. So there is sattva. Then there is action. Brahmaji is creating. Creation is an action. Vishnu is sustaining. So sustenance is an action. And then he is destroying. Shivaji is destroying. So destruction is an action. And where is that coming from? Can't come from Nirgun Nirakar Brahma. it's very difficult to understand Nirguna. Therefore, what he did was he made it into Saguna Sakar and he wrote the 18 Puranas. And what happens with these Puranas is, if you read Shiva Purana, oh, then Shiva is totally glorified. You read Brahma Purana, Brahmaji is the god. And Ganesh is. So then the sex came. Then they said, I'm a Shaivite because Shiva is the greatest. I'm a Vaishnavite because Vishnu is the great. Because they are following those Puranas. They are not following Shruti. Those people who think even that Shiva is greater than Brahma is following the Puranas. Nothing wrong. It is a ladder of evolution. There's nothing wrong in that. Because if there was something wrong with that, why would he write even those Puranas? Bhagwan Ved Vyas has written. Now, as Gurudev has very, very aptly said, for creation, you need knowledge. So Saraswati becomes the consort of Brahmaji. We have never heard Brahmaji having many wives, Vishnu having many wives. Have you heard? No. And they're not also called as wives. They are their consorts. And the subjective meaning is, for creation, you need knowledge. So Saraswati goes with Brahmaji. And therefore, Saraswati is the goddess of knowledge. For sustenance, you need wealth. You need money. So Lakshmiji, representing wealth, goes with Vishnu. And for destruction, you need power. You need Shakti. So that Shakti goes with Shiva. And that's why when you say, is not Shakti a part of Shiva? Yes. Agreed. She is a part of Shiva. Saraswati is a part of Brahma and Lakshmi is a part of Vishnu. They all go together. And that's why these Puranas, is those who follow the Puranas, they become very fanatic. So that's why it's like, I'm a Shaivite and then nothing else. You know, Vaishnavite, then Vishnu is the greatest. Because the Puranas are telling great stories about that. Huh? Durga Puran is there. Then Durgaji will be praised. Then you'll think, oh, Durgaji is only everything, not these other two. So this is how that concept has come. That level of evolution is there. It is not wrong. Nothing is wrong. It is where you are. Okay. I have always told you the story of the little boy who goes to his father and says, how does rain happen? And the father starts telling him the story of theory of condensation and the theory of evaporation and whatnot. And he says, What is all this? And the grandmother says, there is an elephant sitting in the sky who is sucking up all the water from the ocean, pouring it on the earth, and he thinks the grandmother is the greatest. Why? Because he's at that level. He's at that age. So we've been told this. There is a creator. Because you see, I see the world. Who created? Okay, Brahmaji created. Who should I pray? My God, I'm sick. Vishnu. Vishnu Sahasranam. Now COVID. Chant Vishnu Sahasranam. Vishnu is there. Shiva. Now, we go further into Shruti, which is the absolute reality. The Shruti is not written by Bhagwan Ved Vyasa. Okay? They were revealed, and only those revealed mantras, he compiled them. He only compiled them. He didn't write them. So in that, we hear the description of Nirgun Nirakar. And one of the words that is used for this Nirgun Nirakar is Purusha. And Purusha is Nirgun Nirakar. So when you say, is not Prakruti a part of Purusha? Description of Purusha, definition of Purusha is Nirgun Nirakar. Now you're saying, is not Guna a part? How can a Guna be a part of a Nirgun Nirakar? That's why it is incorrect. Who is Shakti? Yes, Shakti is also Gunas only. Shiva is Purusha only in a sense. But now you have come down a notch. You have given that Nirgun Nirakara form. Once you give a form to that Nirgun Nirakara, Gunas come in. So is not Shakti a part of Shiva? Yes, she is a part of Shiva. It is correct. At that level, it is correct. But if you want to go to the highest level, then Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, honestly, there is nothing like that. There is nothing like creation itself. So if you go to that level, absolute level, the Nirgun Nirakar level, there is no Rama, there is no Shri Krishna. There is no form. Nirgun Nirakara. So when form is negated, all forms are negated at the same time. It's the standpoint. So a person standing on earth knows exactly what darkness is. But that some other person is standing on the sun and you ask him, what is darkness, what is he going to say? What are you talking about? There is no darkness. There is nothing like darkness. Who is right? Who is wrong? But understanding has to be very clear in our mind. So when, if you think, if you're taking Purusha as a form, then that's okay. But when you use the word Purusha in a Vedantic class, then Purusha in Vedantic parlance means only Nirgun, Nirakar, Sat, Chit, Anand, Brahma. And Prakriti cannot be a part of that because there is no Maya in that Om. In the BMI chart, in the Om, Maya starts only from Vasanas down. Is this clear? That's why you have to be careful when you say, you have to understand. That's the reason that Nirgun Nirakar has been said to be very difficult to understand, because we are established in form. That's what Bhagwan said in chapter 12. Those who think, Raman Maharshi has said that. He was asked, and in Sad Darshanam, there is a verse. So he was asked, is God with form or without form? He said, what do you think you are? You think you are with form, then God has a form. You think you are without form, then God has no form. Because the minute we separate ourselves from the body, we are Nirgun Nirakar. There is no body, there is no gunas. But when we have this body, mind, intellect, where I think that I am the body, mind, intellect equipment, that is why our first step should be, I am not BMI. I have this equipment which has been given to me for use as a vehicle to reach that Nirgun Nirakar Brahma. Are there any questions on this topic? So that's why I get this thing very, very clearly understood, please.
Jayaji, can I ask a question?
Please.
Again, this might be a really stupid question, but
doesn't
matter. I don't understand. So when people say that they saw Durga Ma or they saw Saraswati, where does that fit in? Does that fit in with a form of Lakshmi or Saraswati, or where does that portion fit in?
They saw a form, if they actually Durga, if they saw, they have imagined her. Or have they done that much tapas? I told you. Om Namah, any mantra, Om Namah Shivai, 5 syllables, you have to do 5 lakh time japa, Shivji will appear in front of you. That means that Nirgun Nirakar is now appearing as a form in front of you. But have you done that much tapas? If without tapas you're saying that you saw, then you have imagined it or you've dreamt it.
Okay.
Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, 13 syllables, 13. And that is, we see that in the life of Samarth Ramdas. He has done it. And Shri Ram gave him darshan. Yes.
So, but where do Durga or Ma, where do
Puranas. Puranas. That's why I said there's Durga Purana. You name it. There is Devi Purana. There is Skanda Purana. There is Garuda Purana. There's Vishnu. 18 are there. Vishnu Puran, Ganpati Puran. You name it. All these deities are coming from that Purana. Ram, Shri Ram and Krishna are coming from the Itihasas.
Thank you.
And therefore, all these deities have got 4 arms. Yeah. Have you seen anybody with 4 arms?
Jayaji, you clear my all confusion today. I am so grateful for you, because when I read Durga Purana, then I think Shakti is very important.
Yes.
Then I go to Bhagavat Purana. So always I used to think, why I don't have one yesterday? But today you clear my all doubt. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And
yeah, okay. I have to second that too. I never understood that until today.
I kind of got that feeling from the 2 questions, especially Prakriti part of Purusha.
Okay. Sorry, I have a question.
I have.
Maybe I didn't understand very well. Where does Bhagavatam fit in?
Bhagavatam is it is an 18th Purana, and it is called a Mahapurana, written by Bhagavan Vedvyasa. It is a bhakti text, and it glorifies the life of Sri Krishna. Bhagavat is for glory. Ramayana also is in there, but very small portion of Sri Rama is there. So it gives you, and the reason it is called as Mahapurana, because it gives you all three, creation, sustenance, and destruction. All three are explained in there, and all the stories have this subjective meaning. That's why I said when he killed Putana, Putana represented ignorance. All these subjectively, that is what Bhagavat is. There are 18 skandhas, 18 chapters in Bhagavat Purana. That is what Bhagavat is. It's a Purana. Bhagavat is a Purana, by the way. Yeah, yes, Mohin. Yeah.
Yeah, in the Bhagavatam, Ved Vyas has written 18 chapters, but he gets all the avatars of Sri Vishnu, and that whole story is linked with so many stories. So, and then in the end, it says that he writes Harivansha. So in that part, he talks about Sri Krishna. But before that, there are so many stories, and it's really confusing. I mean, everything basically ends in the knowledge of the Supreme Self. So all the stories relate to how the knowledge has been given. But it's very, it feels unlinked to us when we read, you know.
No. Bhagavad is very important.
It's important because each chapter gives you this knowledge. The whole Ramayana comes into the Bhagavatam, the whole Mahabharat comes into the Bhagavatam. But every story that we read, which is there in the Bhagavatam, ends in, somebody or the other takes birth, and like it is so interconnected, it's quite confusing. Yeah. I don't know how it is linked to
all the avatars are in there. The 10 avatars are in there. Yeah. Bhagavad. Mohini, did you have to say something?
I really, really enjoyed your lecture today. Really, it cleared my mind of so many things, and it set it on right track. Because I was always confused about the Shakti and Shiva, because that's what I have been believing all through my life. But I have a question, is that there are bhajans about Shiva and Shakti, which say that they are the main thing, that they lead us to that nirguna, to the real of yourself. So it is same thing, it's a median in a kind of way. It's not the ultimate thing, but it's medium. And if we keep insisting on that this is the thing, I think no matter what, we'll reach there. Unless we are...
You can hold on to it. But once we come into Vedanta, what you have to understand, it is that Nirgun Nirakar appearing as three, typically a woman, she's a mother, then she's a cook, then she's a wife, then she goes to work, then she's an employee. Like that one Nirgun Niraka is coming, being personified as the three.
It was pretty good clear, because nobody has explained to me like this. You know, I have heard Shruti, I have heard Smritis, I have heard Puranas. I have not read all those things, it's my weakness, but I have heard. And I just believed in Shiva and Shiva's Shakti. And for me, that was good enough. But because those bhajans and those things, they lead you ultimately to the final thing, that if you hold the Shiva's name, you will reach there. It's a kind of holding to the rope and moving on.
You hold on to Vishnu also, you will reach there only, because everybody has come from the same source. You hold on to Brahmaji, you will reach there only. That's why Bhagavan said in chapter 12, Nirgun Nirakar, you can worship for Sagun Sakar. You reach me only. There's only one source. So you can't go wrong.
Okay. One thing you said is that Maya is controlled by gods, right? But at the same time, when we see some saints or sages who have power over their own thinking, sometimes for a short time, they have also stopped clouds or rain for coming down or some fires they have stopped. It's the stories I have read or heard. So it is, in a way, they have that godly power, just like you say that we are gods. And so in a way, if we have reached to that level, to some extent, we have control over those aspects.
If you do the kind of tapas that they have done, then you will also get, you know, creative power.
Yeah.
Now, one more term that I have to explain. Madhuri, did you have a question?
Yes, my question might be off topic, but it has something to do with the yugas, Sati Yuga, Dwapar, Treta, and we are lucky to be in Kali Yuga to listen to all these stories and all that, right?
So the question is,
Shruti and Smriti and everything was there in Satyug, Dwapar and Treta Yug too?
Or Shruti, Shruti is the breath of the gods.
Okay.
So there was no time when Shruti is not there, because God is there all the time, right?
God was always there.
Before creation, God was there, right? Nirgun Nirakar was there before creation.
That's true, yes. That makes sense.
Also, you should note that Shruti, you will never see Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh.
Yeah.
Rama, Krishna. Because Shruti said it's only a formless God. There is nothing else. That's why it's very difficult to understand. That's why they say Upanishad also, after so many Prakaran Granthas and Bhagavad Gita and all, then you go to the Upanishads. Mm-hmm. One more concept, one more term that I want to talk about is Ishvara. Okay. Now, in common parlance, Ishvara word is used for Krishna also. He's Ishvara, God. You know, so Krishna is Ishvara, Ganpati is Ishvara, Hanumanji is Ishvara. Oh, Ishvara, Bhagwan. So generally, mein Bhagwan bolte hai na. Bhagwan bhi used very much. Oh, Bhagwanji, mujhe bachalo. Oh, Bhagwan, mereko ye karo, wo karo. So that Ishvara is used in there. But in Vedantic parlance, Ishvara is a technical term. And what Ishvara is, this Nirgun Nirakara, when the Prakriti is invoked in there, that Nirgun Nirakara is called as Ishvara. It's a technical term, and it must be understood that Ishvara also is not there. It's a superimposition on the Supreme Reality. So when the reflection, we have talked about reflection, you know, the sun, and then it's reflecting in the bucket, like this pure consciousness reflecting in total Prakriti, in total, which is known as Maya. Total Prakriti is known as Maya. When it reflects in this Maya, it is called Ishvara. And that Ishvara has got Maya under his control. Means what? Means he at all times knows that I am that Nirgun Nirakar Brahma. And this Maya is my servant. I told you, we have to treat her like a servant. She is my servant. And then he orders Maya to create. That is Ishvara, really, Vedantic parlance Ishvara. Otherwise, we say Krishna, Rama is Ishvara. Ishvara is God. That is a different standpoint. That is a very ordinary standpoint from ordinary folks' point. But from Vedantic standpoint, and when this reflection happens in avidya, that's why our vasanas are known as avidya and Ishvara's vasanas are known as Maya. He has Maya under his control. We are under the control of Maya. So what is happening is we are the servant and the gunas are the masters. And then the guna, don't get up in the morning. Kya abhi barish ho rahi hai. It's okay. Let me sleep. Tamas. Let me act. What should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? Doesn't matter. Do you want me to clean your house? Do you want me to do this? I will do it. It's your house, but I will clean it. Rajas. Calmness, purity, knowledge. Sattva. I told you, that's why sattva gives happiness. And in that happiness, we get bound. Because you know why? Because when that happiness gets disturbed. So suppose if, like I said, suppose if somebody knocks on my door, I was aramse reading my books and now somebody has come and now I have to make a cup of tea for this person, right? When I get upset, I am a servant of that sattva guna also. That's why sattva guna binds as well. So the trick is that you remain in sattva, but try, you should never get upset. Then you know you're the master. Okay, I was feeling very sattvic and I was doing my reading And that's fine. But now this friend has suddenly appeared at the door. Now let me make a cup of tea for you. You call that. That's when you call Rajas. I was very sattvic, but now this has come to my, I didn't invite this person. Suddenly there was a knock on my door. Now you call Rajas, your second servant. Okay, Rajas, come. We need to make tea. You have to be able to switch from the gunas. Whatever need is there, you switch, back and forth. That's, and they are your servants, so you can switch. But when we are their servants, then what Tam, even when Rajas is there, then even when the person, if I'm Tam, do you really want a cup of tea? It's not tea time, na? This is how I'll say. In India, it's not, na? You otherwise dinner will be ruined, na? If you have tea. Water is water, okay? That now you have become a servant of Tams. Because you don't want to make that cup of tea. What's the point? Why? Not good, too much tea. You must have had tea now already.
Jayaji, no. I still want to understand this. I remember you giving the example of the sun's reflection in a bucket of water and the reflection. So how, in what context is this word Ishwara coming in this example?
Ishwara is coming when the bucket is the total bucket, Maya.
Maya.
Then it is that reflection is Ishwara. Otherwise, in a
The reflection
bucket,
of from the bucket is
Ishwara.
Is Ishwara.
Yes, okay. Yes. That's why I'm saying Ishwara is not real.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Reflection is not real, right? So it may be in the totality or it may be in individuality. They're both reflections. They're both dependent.
Hmm.
So that's why they're both not real.
Got it. Nice. Today's lecture was very, very... all explanations all cleared.
Because I kind of got that feeling from the two questions, you know, like, and I thought afterwards, I started thinking, you know, oh, you know, what is happening? And I thought there's not clarity, because these different standpoints have to be understood. That's why those type of questions must not come. That's why I said, you must never think that Atma is the doer. Never. If you think, that's why, and then the firm conviction should be that I am that Atma. I am not body, mind, and intellect. If you don't have that firm conviction,
you will still be hearing these questions, because we have lived with those questions all through our life. It cannot be switched so quickly to our mind. You have to bear with us. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No worries. Actually, it's good, because it gave me a chance also to, you know, this knowledge I have, but then to articulate it and to put it, then I had to think too. So I went through all this thinking and I said, you know what, one class I must take away from chapter 14. It's not a wave, but, you know, in a way. So that's why I did it. And then I thought today was a good day. Sheetal should be joining us soon. So I will say the closing prayers. Yes, Prem.
Sorry, just one. I just want to make sure my understanding is clear. The reason Krishna does talk about chapter 14 then and Prakriti and the Gunas, even though none of that from the highest standpoint is important or even considerable, is because we are at that level. And so in order to unbind ourselves, we must know what is binding us. Is that a correct understanding?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. That is the absolute reality. But that's why I always tell my elephant story. We are at the elephant story level. So elephant pouring water on us is very comfortable. We are very comfortable with it. So
that's why he's going into detail about what the elephant looks like and all that stuff, even though in reality, the elephant doesn't exist at all. Okay.
Can I ask a quick question, please?
Sheetal is here. Okay. Quick, because Sheetal is here. Bolo.
Yeah. What my understanding was, there is Purusha, there is Prakriti. And when mm-hmm. the Prakriti has to create, mm-hmm. then the reflection of the supreme power comes at Ishwara. Is that the understanding too? No?
I will explain next time, because you have to first understand Prakriti is inert. So Prakriti can't think that I will create.
No. When it's not Ishwara is the one who enlivens in there and then tries to, then tells Prakriti.
I will talk about the technical explanation of how creation happens next time.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
Okay, that will clarify that. I'm going to say Shanti, 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 Hari Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Hari Om. Binita, you need to make Sheetal the host because she needs to share a video for us. So she will do that, but you make her the host.
Hari Om, Jayaji.
Hari Om.
Hari Om, everyone. I guess I can start. My name is Sheetal. I've met some of you, today I'm going to be talking about this very wonderful project that has been Gurudev's vision to create the Chinmaya Vishwavidyapeeth. It's the Chinmaya University, which is being built in South India, in Cochin, where CIF is located. This is a very ambitious and big project that is involving the entire global Chinmaya Mission family. And I wanted to start off by sharing with you a video that has been created. So I will start with that, and then I'm happy to take any questions that any of you have. Okay.
A young man born into poverty in India carefully penned incredible new discoveries and mailed them to mathematician G. H. Hardy at the University of Cambridge. The letter closed, "Being poor, if you are convinced that there is anything of value, I would like to have my theorems published. Yours truly, Srinivasa Ramanujan." Ramanujan intuitively drew upon ancient Indian knowledge systems that enabled him to observe whole mathematical theories in his mind. This capacity, coupled with Hardy's Western scientific approach, changed the world of mathematics forever. A century later, the legacy of Ramanujan continues to influence mathematics and even black holes, a concept that was not even discovered at the time. Now, imagine an educational institution that fused ancient Indian wisdom with Western cutting-edge university practices. How many more stories like Ramanujan's would we see? Consider a Bachelor of Commerce course with management insights from the Bhagavad Gita, combined with daily meditation and subjects focused on multiplying impact for the greater good. Or perhaps an LLM in legal theory that draws on ethical and moral dimensions from great epics such as the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. Well, this is precisely what the newly founded Chinmaya University offers. For centuries, Indian intelligentsia have made enormous contributions to math, science, politics, linguistics, performing arts, economics, architecture, medicine, and more, often many, many centuries before similar discoveries were made anywhere else in the world. For instance, we all knew Copernicus first discovered that the Earth revolves around the Sun in the 16th century, right? Wrong. It was the Indian mathematician and astronomer Aryabhatta who first figured it out. He determined the Earth was round and that we orbited the Sun some 1,000 years before Copernicus was even born. So many of these advancements have been based on the ancient Indian knowledge systems rooted in the Sanskrit language and preserved, studied, and developed over millennia. At its core, these systems gave individuals a formidable understanding of the power of their mind by revealing mankind's limitless potential. They unleash some of the most complex and creative ideas in our history. This incredible system and the vast treasure trove of knowledge that it unlocks is what is being revived and taught at Chinmaya University, a vision of the great Vedantic master of the 20th century, Pujya Swami Chinmayananda. By combining the deep insights of the past with latest independent thinking and expert instruction, Chinmaya University will help to create a new generation of global leaders. Leaders who are vibrant, humble, inspiring, and successful. Leaders who won't merely think outside the box, but discard the boundaries altogether to drive genuinely disruptive and positive innovations. And most importantly, leaders with compassion and curiosity, who truly believe their progress is intertwined with the progress for all. This is an ambitious approach, but history shows incredible feats can be achieved with the right foundation. The Brihadishwara Temple, built in the year 1010, used ancient Indian architectural acumen to construct one of the tallest temple towers on earth. The taller the building, the loftier the ambitions, then the stronger the foundations need to be. And from there, anything is possible. Together, we can build the foundations of a different kind of future, a future that we together want to live in and share with generations to come. Find out more about how you can be part of history and bring in the best of our past to enrich our future.
Perfect. Amazing, wasn't it? So inspiring.
Yeah. We didn't see this one. We saw Swami Sopananji's. Are you going to show that one to the Calgary people too, or no?
I did.
Swami Sopananji's message?
I switched it up a little bit just for, because there's some people that watched the same one yesterday.
Yeah.
But there's a beautiful message by Swami Sopananji as well that I'm happy to share in the coming weeks. I feel so that we're all so bhagya that in our lifetime we have this opportunity to help fulfill Gurudev's vision. Many of you actually have already signed up to be an ambassador. So I'll explain a little bit about what this crowdfunding campaign is about. So what is happening is that all of the centers around North America, there's 40 of us centers that are being asked to mobilize to sign up as an ambassador, which means someone who can become a part of this crowdfunding campaign. And I want to explain the difference between crowdfunding and fundraising. So the goal of North America is to raise $3.5 million. And crowdfunding means that each of you, if you sign up to be an ambassador, then you reach out to your networks of people, your friends and your family, and you ask each of them to donate $25, $50, $7,500. Individual by individual, each ambassador will have a goal of $750. And the idea is to make this a movement, to let as many people as possible to join the efforts to fulfill this vision. And to really advance Sanatan Dharma in the world. We feel that a lot of these knowledge systems have not been portrayed in the most accurate way possible. And here we have this incredible opportunity to become a part of this movement that is Gurudev's vision. So Jayaji, I would love to give you the opportunity to speak any words as well.
Basically, I want everybody to know that it is Gurudev's vision, number one. And the project is as good as gold because it's a great project. And whatever money that we collect, we know that it is Chinmay Mission funds, so they won't get misappropriated or used for purposes that they're not supposed to be. Raising $750 per person, the idea for each ambassador is to go outside of the mission, okay? So this is not like you go to your own members, because each member has to stand on his own. And then together, we shall succeed. That is the idea, that I stand on my own and I go to people outside, and what is to be highlighted is education, not religion. And the very nice part is all the material will be provided to us by Shiva. We all we need is our friends list in our mind. So either email, WhatsApp, whoever is savvy with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram also, will you guys be doing, Shital?
We're going to be doing Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything. And the best is WhatsApp and Facebook. Yeah. And we're going to be providing you with the script. Yes. All you have to do is copy paste and just insert the name. So there's no guesswork. Videos that you want to share.
Yeah.
Everything will be provided for you. Literally, it's just a matter of reaching out to your networks.
Yeah. It's just telling people that this is an education. The whole problem is coming, and we are working on it, is that we cannot issue tax receipts for this because the money is going out of the country. God willing, maybe we might come up with something where we will be able to issue, but right now we are not. So in Vancouver, I have asked our treasurer, Dinesh, to be prepared to issue receipts, because I want complete transparency. So I want, even for $10, I want a receipt issued, which will say not to be used for tax purposes. So that sort of a receipt will issue. And there is a platform. And so Calgary, every center has been called upon to help. You know, little by little, Swami Sopananji gave us the example of when the bridge was built, Setu, in Ramayana, even the squirrel helps. So even if we think that I'm a squirrel or maybe a little rat or a mouse, it's okay. We can put our little contribution and that will help. So don't think that, you know, it was so difficult, so big. So don't think like that. Think small, small, you know, and together, Yajna spirit, we will win. You know, so now we should be, Western Canada should do more than Eastern Canada. So we can.
Also, the platform that we're building will have the opportunity to see what all of the ambassadors across Vancouver, across the center is doing. So it'll create a really great energy towards this. We'll be able to see what all the centers across North America are doing, how much money we are raising. So it's state of the art, you know, and it's really great to become a part of this incredible team of people that are is led by Pooja Swamiji. So, and of course, Gurudev's vision. So I feel very lucky in this lifetime to have this opportunity to speak about this and for us to all be a part of this movement as well.
So one thing I want to ask is, has Calgary received these emails? Have
not
the Calgary
yet.
Members received these emails? Because likely, we have received them.
Likely not. Calgary would have received something.
No, I have received directly from CCMT. Calgary right. should have received.
Yes, yeah, so we have, and we have listened to Swami Sarupananaji, myself, Anita Ramesh, Kalpana. We listened to the last, meeting he had.
The last right. meeting. Oh, wonderful.
So that's the second time we've listened to it.
Wonderful.
But, you know, currently with this push to raise money for COVID and other things, you know, it's not easy.
Yeah. And actually we are addressing all of that because we obviously understand the need of the hour is to address those issues. So we have meetings with the Bharat team tomorrow evening, just to see, as of right now, the crowdfunding campaign will start on June 30th, but in light of what's happening, we may decide to push it a little bit forward. But in the meantime, this project is a 3-year project and we all should be aware of it and work towards at least signing up as an ambassador and spreading the word to our friends and family, for sure.
So Sheetal, I have to ask yesterday,
No, you can ask later. Let Calgary people talk.
Okay.
Anybody from Calgary has any question?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I'm wondering, will each center be controlled, or will each center have their own contributions, or will it be all of the West as one entity?
So yeah, sure. That's a great question. So CM Vancouver will. Calgary and Saskatoon will likely fall under CM Vancouver. It'll be one team. If that's how we have it right now, but I still have to reach out to the Calgary team and then report back to Swami Ishwarananda-ji and Vivek-ji. And then they will take the call as to whether CM Calgary will be its own center, in which case what we're looking for is to recruit one board member and two Setukari leads that will take the lead of this project. And then they will be the ones that will be in charge of recruiting all the ambassadors. So it's quite a big role. If CM Calgary feels that they have not just the bandwidth, but the manpower to be able to do that, then I can definitely make an appeal to Swamiji and Vivekji to make sure that CM Calgary has its own separate entity, in which case it'll be 41 centers and not 40.
We will discuss this and, between the board and let you know what our preference would be.
Perfect. That's wonderful.
I have a question. My name is Patmaja. I wanted to know whether we can reach out to people, in UK, in India, or just within Calgary, within North America. Is that is that what is required?
No. So actually the platform that we're using will allow people from all over the world to mm-hmm. donate in their currency. However, okay. if it's an amount that's large where they want a tax receipt, we will definitely request that they donate to in Bharat or they donate from Australia because then they will get the tax receipt from that country. But okay. if it's an amount where they just want to make a donation and it's 25, 50, it doesn't matter to them, then they can contribute to your profile. And so you'll get the points. it'll contribute towards your total. So if you feel like, you know, the donor is wanting a tax receipt, then for that purpose, it would make most sense for them to donate to their country for where they're from.
Makes sense. Yeah. Thank you.
One more question, Sheetalji.
Ji.
So if we don't have enough manpower to, let's say, have the Setukaris and the ambassadors, etc., then do we just, if we're interested in doing something, do we just join another team? Let's say, like, you know, if I was interested, would I just join the Vancouver team? Or I guess that's something that would still need to be worked out.
Kalpana, you're from Calgary, yes?
That's just what I mentioned, Kalpana. We will discuss it between our board, and what our preference is, we will let Sheetal know whether we'll join them as a group or we want to form our own group.
Okay,
perfect. And in the chat room, there's information about the university. You can go onto their website. I've also shared a link, which you can, if you're ready to sign up as an ambassador, you can do that. And my apologies, I'm just adding my email address. I've actually
spelled it correctly. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just going to...
And for all of you, if you don't feel, you can, even if you write to me, I'll forward it to her so that you don't worry. You all have my email address or whatever. We'll make sure that if it's for Sheetal, it'll go to her if you don't remember her email or like this. I can always, and you always see me every week. Yes. So don't worry that, oh, where are we going to contact Sheetal? I'll put you in touch
with her. And also Chitraji is in the class, and Chitraji is the board representative from CM Vancouver. So moving forward, she will be your contact for everything. I'll be in touch with Chitraji and she'll be communicating all the relevant information moving forward. So I wanted to just introduce myself because I'm part of the Western team and I'll be working directly with Chitraji and she will then be able to share all the information and answer any questions that you have. Lilaji, you have a question.
Yes, I do, because we kind of follow Calgary, team. We don't have our own mission here.
Yep.
So what we should do when Calgary makes their decision, then should we follow them, or how does that work?
Sure. So there's two options right now. I think once CM Calgary has their meeting and decides whether they want to be their own entity, they can actively recruit CM Saskatoon. We may decide to keep Lilaji for ourselves and recruit you for Vancouver. There might be a little bit of a battle. JRG, we can decide that. But I think the first step is for CM Calgary to decide whether they want to join forces with CM Vancouver so that there's a little bit more support and they don't feel overwhelmed. But if they feel that they have enough manpower and that Saskatoon would like to join on with CM Calgary, we can let CM Calgary make that call. And ultimately, I will have to share all of this with Swami Ishwanandaji and Vivekji, who will make the ultimate call as to whether to keep it all clumped up as Vancouver or as separate centers.
Sure. Also, can you please send us the information
yes.
on how to go about what to...
Don't worry. Don't worry.
Yeah, all the information will come right now in the chat. I've shared a website, so you can go directly to the CVV website. But as soon as we figure out whether CM Calgary is separate or together, then all the emails will start coming.
Thank you, Sheetal.
No problem. And Diptiji, you had a question? I think you're on mute.
I just wanted to know when we are going to get the like know-how or getting the videos or the emails or whatever
Absolutely.
Information that
yeah,
we need to circulate.
I think right now we're in the process of finalizing, just amidst COVID, what the official start date will be. Once we have clarity, we have a meeting with Team Bharat tomorrow evening. So I think I would say look into your inbox within the next 1 to 2 weeks, and then all the information and updates will be there, how to set up your profile and all of that.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. I think we've covered everything.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me in class. I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, I had a question before you leave.
Yes, sure.
The video that you just showed us, would that be available to be shared with all our members? Because most of them are not here.
Yeah, I can share the link actually with you.
You know, like with the Balvihar families and all of those people and some others who don't generally attend our Monday class, we could share the video and, you know, generate more interest.
Absolutely. I'm just, bear with me for a second. I'm just going to post the link on the in the chat So you can go ahead and share that with anyone you like. It's actually available on YouTube. So if you go to Chinmaya Vishwavidyapeeth, it has its own YouTube channel and lots of materials are already shared. So you can even look it up on your own from YouTube, just Chinmaya Vishwavidyapeeth, and their channel will show up in all the associated videos. Right now in the chat, I've shared the video that I shared with you all today.
Thank you.
No problem.
You can access it from there, right? Otherwise, we can email it to info@chinmaycalgary.org. Is that your address, right? info@chinmaycalgary.org, correct? Yeah,
that's the general inbox.
Yeah, that's the inbox. So if anything, Sheetal, you want to send, you can send it to info, then they will disseminate it. Perfect. info@chinmaycalgary.org. Very simple to remember.
Perfect.
So, you know.
Okay.
Great. This is what I wanted everybody to know, and directly from the project committee, from the horse's mouth, like they say, instead of me saying. All right. So don't think that it is difficult. But what I wanted to also emphasize is that please, we are not the doers. Surrender to Gurudev. He will do all the work through us. Just be available to get the work done. See, the instrument has to be available. That's it. We are only instruments. We are not doers. Doing is being done by Gurudev. But instrument, if only is with, how can we do? It is difficult. Instrument is only not now ready, then that doesn't happen. So be ready, be enthusiastic, and Gurudev will work his magic and leave to him. Okay.
Jayati, I had one question about the class. The Calgary, this Monday class, can we get the recordings of it?
Yes, it's on the Calgary website.
Okay.
On the Calgary website, okay. And the recordings are there. Okay. And Sheetal, I've been forgetting to tell you that your book is with me because you sponsored the Gita Duta Yajna. This is the prasad. So anytime you're passing by, just give me a call and pick it up. I've been meaning to tell you for so long. And
thank you, Jaji.
With your name on it, it's there, huh?
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, guys, we've said our closing prayers. So, Hari Om, everybody. Any questions? She's always available. Like I said, you can forward your questions to me. I can forward them to her. So, no worries at all. Okay? All right. I'll see you next Monday.
Thank you, Jaji.
Thank you, Hari Om.